Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy
way. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about that 2015 film Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Yeah, we are.
Directed by Joss Whedon. The quicker we skip past that fact, the better.
Yep, moving along.
Yes. So, Brother Jay, you and I had never seen this movie before.
Correct.
What was your first thought, having seen it now?
Jesse told me halfway through I needed to lighten the fuck up.
Were you scribbling too hard?
No. He made a comment that I wasn't laughing at any of the one-liners, and he said I needed to take them less seriously and enjoy them.
Well, if there's one thing that the Anderson brothers can do well is accept criticism graciously.
So how'd that work? Were you able to lighten the fuck up?
Well, what do you think? We've known each other for a couple decades.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what that would look like.
Did you furiously point at him and then point out of the room?
I did not. I just nodded and continued in an annoying manner. I tried to reset my brain, but it didn't help.
So Drew, when you first saw this movie, was it not in theaters, right?
Not in theaters. Okay. Correct.
And what did you think of it the first time you saw it?
It was messy. This is a messy movie. I've seen it several times now, and it's still still messy. There are certain parts of this movie that I like quite a bit. But like overall, start to finish, it's really hard to sit through. Mostly because I think they tried to cram too much stuff in it that's not related to this actual story. Like this is where you really start to feel the chessboard being set up and the priority given to seeding future movie plots instead of servicing the movie you're watching. This is probably the worst example of that in all of the movies.
That's comforting to hear. Because the first thought I had was just one word. Long. It is so long and feels every second of it.
For me, it was long. The length wasn't the problem as much as the content therein. The problem I had as I was watching was that it felt like it was multiple stories that weren't really woven together, and none of them really were coherent, and none of them were explained. They were just ejaculated as fact, and then you had to move forward.
Yeah, this is kind of like a placeholder movie, right? I mean, there's nothing that was resolved in this movie.
This movie... I mean, it introduced Vision and Wanda.
By the way, can I make an admission? Yes. Wasn't until the end of this movie where I understood why they call the program WandaVision. I mean, I know why they call it WandaVision, because it's like a parody of a bunch of TV shows. But for some reason, I did not click in my head that his name was just Vision. Hmm. So, Wanda, yep. Vision, yeah.
Did you not read any comic books with him in it?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Journey was telling me stories about what would happen in, at the very end of this whole series of movies. And I said, spoilers!
Yeah, I had to wait till the credits to figure out, because I knew he had a name, I just didn't know what it was. And then when I saw it, I was nonplussed.
He had two roles in this movie.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, that's wild. That's good stuff.
Is he in future movies as such? As the voice?
As two roles?
No, as the voice.
Well, he actually is physically in the movies as opposed to just being the voice.
But is he Jarvis in the rest of the movies or Iron Man's in?
No, there is no more Jarvis.
Oh, really?
He used to be Jarvis, yeah.
Okay.
Which is why they were introducing other voices, which is why he had other voices. I assume because Paul Bettany probably didn't want to do it anymore.
But he's doing it, though.
Yeah. Well,
but he's actually acting on screen as opposed to being a voice.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Being the voice sounds like a pretty sweet gig.
Yep. You know who else was acting on screen instead of being a voice? James Spader. Yeah. Yeah. He came in and they did motion capture with James Spader because apparently he is quite good. Like, they gave him a standing ovation when he did his first scene.
He's good. I love him in this movie.
Yeah. The role was all designed around his voice.
He reminded me, though, the face of the robot character, the cyborg, whatever it was, reminded me of the villain in that horror movie series, the funny looking, is it Saw with the funny face
guy? Oh, yeah. Jigsaw, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Hey, kind of an ant sort of face.
That's all I kept seeing, by the way. Okay. I just kept seeing that over and over. And it took me a long time. I had to look up the voice because I thought, is really familiar. Why can't I place this voice? So we for the longest
have,
time, I
Jason, have you seen Saw, the original one?
No.
Okay.
No. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Ultron in this movie is a good example of what I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe does really well. Is it? It takes a concept or a storyline from the comic books and kind of keeps the heart of it, but repurposes it for this particular universe and really improves upon what it used to be. Like the character of Ultron is like an arch nemesis for the Avengers. Like, it seemed like every time the comic books didn't know what to do, they'd bring a version of Ultron back as the big bad for a few issues. Ultron was not created by Tony Stark in the comic books. It was created by another Avenger. But I think they repurposed him really well for this movie and wove him into sort of what was already existing in the movies. I thought that worked really well. Kind of combined him as being, you know, part of the Iron Legion and really started to weave in the Infinity Stones. That was a little clunky, but
a little.
Yeah.
The Infinity Stones have been my problem since the beginning of this whole thing.
But we'll see. I just have to ask, is that a McDonald's straw, Brother E?
It is.
Okay. It's so iconic. I recognized it from the color and the stripe.
Yes, it's a McDonald's straw in a stainless steel tumbler.
It just goes to marketing. I knew exactly what it was by seeing like an inch of it.
So. Well, it's also, what, 1.5 times as girthy as most straws.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Marketing, too. Probably something about
that. Everybody loves a little extra girth.
Yeah. Let's dive into this movie, shall we?
We probably should.
It starts in the Eastern European country of Sokovia, where the Avengers, Tony Stark, Steve Rogers, Thor, Bruce Banner, Natasha Romanoff, and Clint Barton raid a Hydra outpost commanded by Baron Wolfgang von Strucker, played by Thomas Kretschmann. By the way, you know all the Hawkeye bashing I've been doing?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first movie that gave Hawkeye anything interesting to do. I liked this Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I still don't want to watch a Hawkeye solo movie, but yeah, I like this Hawkeye.
How about a TV series?
Is that coming up?
It's coming.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay. Jeremy Renner?
Yes.
Hawkeye's going to sing, isn't he?
I hope so. He's got a good voice.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's in a band, right?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. No, he's like similar to the, 30 Seconds from Mars type thing. I think he went on like a tour pre-COVID. It was sponsored by Jeep.
Is that like the Bacon Brothers?
Yeah, a little bit, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, good for you. You know, it's right on. They encounter two of Strucker's experiments, the Maximoff twins. Pietro, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson of Kick-Ass, who has superhuman speed. And Wanda, Elizabeth Olsen from Red Lights, who has telekinetic abilities and can manipulate minds and project energy. She's kind of all over the place with her talents, but that works out. Rogers captures Strucker while Stark retrieves the scepter after Wanda implants a fear-filled vision of a bleak possible future in his mind. So this has, I mean, there's some pretty good action scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Quicksilver. Only upon researching did I figure out why they, like, first of all, why did they even introduce him as a character? And secondly, since they introduced him, it's like they made no use of him because of rights issues, I guess.
Is that why? I don't know why.
There are all these, like, because he's part of the X-Men universe.
Mm-hmm.
And all those rights issues haven't been untangled quite yet, or hadn't by the time of this film. Maybe they have by now. But like,
oh, yeah, Disney owns everything now.
Okay, because before they weren't. Was it Sony or something that owned X-Men? I don't know.
It was Fox.
Fox. Okay. Well, yeah, because you couldn't call Quicksilver one of the X-Men,
right?
Which is why they killed him.
Not a mutant.
Yeah, there are no mutants because there's no gay people in the Avengers. More of an X-Men thing. Are we going to watch the X-Men movies eventually?
I don't think so.
Okay. That works out fine. I think I have them all, but yeah, I get it.
I mean, we've already watched Logan.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, two of the three of us have watched it.
You should watch it. It's good.
I haven't seen any of the movies.
You don't have
to. It won't matter. You've watched enough. You've watched enough superhero movies. It's fine. And the performances are great.
If you are a Patrick Stewart fan, you should see that movie.
You know that I am.
Of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's so good. He should have been nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
Anyway, so back to the movie. Back at the team's headquarters in Avengers Tower, formerly Stark Tower, Stark and Banner discover an artificial intelligence within the Scepter's gem. Now, so inside Loki's scepter is an artificial intelligence because the Asgardians are actually aliens, not like gods.
Well, it's not Asgardian.
Oh, it's God, now I forget it. Like something Helm or something. Frost Giant Berg.
You're talking about the scepter or the stone inside?
Both.
Oh, well,
okay. Explain.
The stone is not Asgardian, right? It's an Infinity Stone.
Yeah, but okay. I hate this whole topic, but we're gonna go there. We're gonna dive in there. So, do we figure out where the Infinity Stones come from?
Yeah, it was explained in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they talked about it.
Okay, well, refresh my memory. Actually, well, they also talked about it. Clearly, I know, but for the people listening who haven't listened to all of our previous discussions,
they also discussed it in the movie before that we watched.
I mean, I know of some Infinity Stones, And we were introduced to two of them in this movie. But so how were the Infinity Stones created? What was that all about?
They're what's left over from the creation of the universe.
Okay. And there's unlimited number of them?
No, there are six of them.
Okay.
And each one does something slightly different.
Okay, so we have the Tesseract, right? That's one?
I think that's space. That's the Space Stone.
Okay. And then we have the Loki thing.
The Mind Stone, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the Loki Stone, Mind Stone, that's part of Vision now.
Yes.
Okay. And then, there's one we're missing.
There's four we're missing.
No, but I mean, there's one we're missing. Have we been introduced to all six of them?
I think the reality stone was in Thor: The Dark World.
Okay. Oh, that's true. Those and then was there one in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe the Power Stone.
Okay. So that's one left.
The purple one, whatever the purple one was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's two left.
Two left. Okay.
Do they appear?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they end up in the gauntlet, right? Mm-hmm. But we have at least two Avengers movies to go. Or does he... Well, never mind. That's getting too far ahead. Anyway. So they find this artificial intelligence that is the Mind Stone, right?
Isn't it just intelligence? It's not artificial.
Well, right? Whatever. So they discover inside Loki's scepter is the Mind Stone. And they want to use it to bring... Tony's, this is where Tony takes the turn, right? This is where it's Captain America versus Tony for the rest of the series.
He's been turning since the end of the first Avengers, right?
Well, I guess.
Yeah. Because his experience at the end of that traumatized him. I mean, he was experiencing PTSD in Iron Man 3. And... for some reason, after deciding he wasn't going to be Iron Man anymore and blowing up all of his suits of armor, he shows up with not only armor in this movie as Iron Man, but he's built a whole legion of armored drones.
Yes.
Another idea he stole from Vanko.
And a souped-up suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got different suits, right? I mean, he always has the satellite drone thing full of different suits.
Veronica, right?
Because there's that specialized Hulk killing suit, right? Or not Veronica. Hulk killing. Oh, Veronica is the name of that, the Hulk suit
of the big,
yes. The Hulkbuster suit.
Okay, yeah. Hulkbuster. There we go.
Yeah. At the end of these movies, we can talk about how everything is not fair. 85% of all the bad things that happen, you can trace back to being Tony's fault.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it. He's been sort of an anti-hero the whole time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was traumatized after the Battle of New York,
which they went to great pains to have exposition on in this movie.
Yeah. And then the Scarlet Witch just fucks with his mind even more in this movie.
Yes.
He already had a notion of, he called it wanting to build a suit of armor around the whole world because he wanted to prevent an alien invasion from ever happening again. So hubris and unintended consequences abound, right?
Yeah, because first Iron Man was about ending war because you had the ultimate weapon. Like, you can't beat it. Mm-hmm. So it was protecting us from ourselves. And then next would be the Ultron project was to protect Earth from everybody else too.
Yep.
Well, so they end up awakening this the sentient Ultron who takes over Jarvis or muffles Jarvis or something.
Kills him, supposedly.
Yeah, looks like he kills him.
And this is played by James Bader from 2 Days in the Valley. And by the way, I guess they, in the motion capture thing, in order to get him to be as tall as Ultron, they had like these poles with big red balls on the top to like show the actors where the eyes were so they could follow the eye line. But Elizabeth Olsen's character kept looking down at James Spader, but maybe Scarlett Johansson did too, like looking down at James Spader because he was just so captivating when he gave his little speeches. And so the guy who plays Quicksilver, who is who I guess was reluctant to play the role anyway, was not knowing how short his life in this universe would be. He would do things like, I guess he and Elizabeth Olsen were friends. So when she would like mess up her eye line, he'd yell, "Lizzie, look at his big balls." And that was a nice tension reducer.
They went to great pains to explain the absence of Jane and Pepper.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, why? Okay, I know why Jane wasn't in the movie. Why wasn't Pepper in the movie? Was she out hatching jade eggs or something? No need for it.
Joss Whedon secretly hates women? I don't know.
Well,
I don't think it's a secret.
Not anymore. Gwyneth Paltrow, she actually has no idea how, like, which movie she's been in.
Oh, good for her.
I don't know if you've seen any interviews with her, but like she introduced herself at a press event to Tom Holland and was like, I'm so excited to finally be in a movie with you. And Jon Favreau had to be like, you've already been in a movie with him.
Sorry. Yeah, well, you know. The thing about Gwyneth Paltrow, I like her more the less interviews I watch with her. I mean, yeah. The same could be probably said for many, many actors, but
performers as well. By the way,
oh yeah, absolutely, yep.
What did you guys think of the party, the revels?
Do I even remember the party?
I'm not sure what you mean.
They're celebrating getting the scepter back, and that's Ultron shows up at the end of the party.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't understand the point.
Oh, I just thought the party was fun. They were just kind of hanging out, chilling. They had the whole thing with Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
It seemed very stilted and uncomfortable.
Oh, I didn't think so at all. Like that and the farmhouse, those are actually my favorite parts of the movie. I thought those were far more entertaining than a lot of the action scenes.
Yeah, I agree about the farmhouse. But I guess I did like the Thor's hammer thing, just as a, although again, it's an aside that a 2.5 hour movie didn't need. Like, I know it humanized the characters, blah, 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 to show them individually trying to pick up meow meow. But no, it, come on now. Now it did pay off a good joke at the end though.
Yeah. And it was Chris Hemsworth is, He's way better than he needs to be for this movie, but just like the look on his face when he gets nervous about Captain America trying to pick up the hammer, that's so good.
Yeah,
just like a little moment. He doesn't even say anything, but just the look is great.
Yeah, I think it was an attempt at a moment of levity in an otherwise pretty heavy movie, except that it Eric's right. There was too much in this movie. It should have been two movies. They could have expanded on some and had two movies, and it would have been far better, I think.
Well,
especially because they wouldn't have had to kill him off right so quick. Quicksilver.
I would just have rather had them just cut out whole parts of this movie and make it one movie.
At the end, you can tell us what should be cut out.
Yeah, yeah, I would be interested in that. I liked Ultron. Is that he was like. In the exact opposite of Wonder Woman 84, he's a villain that was low-key. Or actually, here, that's a pun too. unlike Loki, he was much more low-key. And maybe because he was, you know, a computer whatever. Or I guess he's not a computer, right? He's just sentient.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Yeah. So he's a thing. But he was pretty matter of fact, and he was a little Bane-like in that he just got to deliver some fun lines. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to break anybody's back, but yeah. So I kind of like that. I am getting tired of drone movies. If the rest of these Avengers are going to have a million Iron Man drones or alien drones or whatever, It's just all the stormtroopers. I don't know. Do we need that? I don't know.
We don't.
But yeah. So Ultron overwhelms Jarvis and basically takes over one of the Iron Legion robot drones and attacks the Avengers as they're having their little party. And Ultron escapes the scepter and uses resources in Strucker's Sokovia base to upgrade his rudimentary body and build an army of robot drones. After killing Strucker, he then meets and recruits the Maximoff twins, who hold Stark responsible for their parents' deaths due to the weapons manufactured by his company.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty harrowing origin tale.
Yeah, and it was actually pretty... It was, again, an aside, but I think it was a pretty good aside, and it didn't take very long, so...
Yeah.
And it legitimizes all that.
Yeah. I really like what they did with Scarlet Witch, and I like Elizabeth Olsen in the role.
Yeah. And so then that dastardly trio goes to the base of arms dealer Ulysses Klaw, played by Andy Serkis.
Klaw,
okay. In definitely unlike any role we've seen Andy Serkis play.
You mean himself?
Yeah, but it's pretty great. And we hear about Wakanda for the first time. Is it the first time? I think it's the first time, right?
It's been on like Nick Fury's screens before, if you're really paying attention, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they talked about, they never said where, Howard Stark got the vibranium for Captain America's shield, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know they talked a little bit about it when they explained the shield, but, I thought this was going to be the first appearance of the Black Panther. I was wrong.
Nope.
Is that the next Avengers movie?
It's before the next Avengers movie.
Okay. So, I know, there's got a lot of movies coming up. It's going to be the rest of this year, probably, right? Or more. No, probably more, actually. Maybe up until the middle of next year. Okay. So, the Avengers pursues them... to the African shipyard, but Wanda subdues them all, except for Stark and Barton, because Barton's had the mind control thing. He doesn't play that game anymore. It's actually pretty fun. I like that.
I would have cut out this whole part on the boat. All of it. Don't need it. Figure out some other way to draw parallels between Ultron and Stark. And just have him steal the vibranium off screen. We don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, this whole, they set up the Avengers as kind of bad guys because of what the Hulk does here, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least in the media. But yeah, other than the Hulk busting armor, I don't know. Later in housekeeping, I will make a, I'll comment about my recently seeing Godzilla versus Kong. Have you watched Godzilla versus Kong?
No.
Yeah.
I don't actually think I've seen a Godzilla movie since I was in my single digits.
I would recommend the 1954 original Gojira. Not Godzilla King of the Monsters, which is the same movie with like 10 minutes of Raymond Burr shoved in, and okay. In English, with a whole different story. But, yeah. And I have fond memories of the Matthew Broderick, Hank Azaria Godzilla. And of course Shin Godzilla, which is a different whole genre of movies.
Is Jack Black in a Godzilla movie, or am I hallucinating?
King Kong.
No, he was in King Kong.
Yeah, I see. See, I can't keep him straight.
Yeah, not the same King Kong.
The Peter Jackson King Kong.
Forgive me.
You're forgiven. So anyway, yeah. So they have this whole fight in South Africa or whatever in a big city, and destroys a bunch of stuff. So the Avengers are persona non grata in to the world.
Yeah. So everybody gets their little nightmares.
Yeah. So they have to go and basically rest and recuperate and figure out how to solve these problems. And so they end up going back to Hawkeye's ranch, where we meet Linda Cardinelli from Brokeback Mountain and ER, who I love. It was great to see her.
Some say Cardellini.
Oh, Linda Cardellini. I actually spelled it Cardinelli, so I must have got it all wrong. Yeah. Anyway, so sorry.
I could be wrong.
Where we meet his wife, Linda Cardellini, from Brokeback Mountain in ER. And I love her. Don't you love her? Especially her name. It's so just nice to say.
I love Cardellini. Her. She's good in everything. She's good on Freaks and Geeks. She's good in Bloodlines.
Yeah.
Bloodline.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to criticize. she's good in Brokeback Mountain in ER. But yeah, so apparently Barton's kept this whole family, including his kids, a secret from everybody except for Romanoff. And it's nice because here,
Nick Fury.
Well, that's true. But here we learn that that all this winky naughty stuff between Natasha and Clint is not a romantic thing.
Correct.
Because it turns out the romance is between a nutty professor and a deadly assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, by the way, half of all of that could have been cut too. I mean, it does humanize the characters a little bit, but, you know. Anyway. So, they each have to solve their own personal demons, and Thor ends up taking a detour to go see his friend Erik Selvig.
Thor just fucks off.
Yeah, he does. Because he saw an apocalyptic future in his hallucination. And Romanoff and Banner discuss the possibility of just fleeing together. And, of course, this is where, you know, Banner has trust and commitment issues. But Nick Fury arrives and encourages the team to fight back and stop Ultron.
After a really fun wood chopping scene.
Yeah. Well, is it really fun or is it, I don't know. There's a lot of good dialogue. So that's fun. It just stops the whole progress of the plot, though. The movie is so long. Every time they stop to take a breath and give you, like, they just lose all the momentum for me.
Yeah, I think after having seen the movie a few times, these are the parts that I think are the most interesting. Because the action scenes get old pretty quickly. You know, they're kind of fun. It's kind of fun to see the Hulkbuster armor the first time, but it's not really rewatchable. If you're not watching Ultron be all sarcastic and quippy, you don't need to watch the Avengers fighting each other. They already did that in the first movie. So yeah, I appreciate the character moments here.
Fair enough. So
what were you going to say, Jason?
I was going to say the slow moments are the moments when everybody in the movie theater had to go pee. So they missed those anyway.
Oh, maybe so. So back in Seoul, Ultron forces Avengers friend and ally Dr. Helen Cho, Claudia Kim, to use her synthetic tissue technology together with vibranium and the Scepter's gem to perfect a new body for him. He's going to upload himself into the synthetic body. And then, unfortunately, before lots of little things happen to prevent this from happening in a quick fashion, including a dramatic chase scene involving helicopters and trucks and motorcycles and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Wanda is able to read his mind, and he discovers that Ultron's ultimate plan to save humanity is to annihilate humanity. You know, to quick restart. Sort of a spoiler, I am mother kind of thing.
So, I have a question at this point. So, he's everywhere on the internet, and he's everywhere on the planet, but if he destroys everybody that's a living being on the planet, how's he going to maintain?
He doesn't need humans.
Yeah.
He's just going to self-sustain everything on his own.
What's to maintain?
Well, if he puts a giant meteor into the ocean, which is essentially the plan, it makes the planet obliterated by some huge cosmic shockwave, or tidal shockwave, I guess is probably better description. There wouldn't be anything left.
There would be no people left.
If giant tidal waves come and take out land and all kinds of buildings and power plants, there's nothing left. If there is a huge, overwhelming amount of water that floods over the continents, that will get swept away and destroyed. So there won't be anything left. It'll be this huge Pangea soup.
I don't know. By the way,
anyway,
this was the dumbest part of the movie for me, is the lifting the city up to drop it. All of this I hated. Every bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, why wouldn't he just not launch the nukes?
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, he couldn't get the codes.
Yeah, but you could make it look like there was an invasion coming, in which somebody would have launched the nukes then. I mean, there's a thousand things. Anyway.
Well, it's very comic booky. To take a whole city up into the air.
He had not read This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends.
I have another book, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, put a pin in that, because we'll definitely need to talk about that. So this is where Wanda and Peter decide they're going to join forces with the Avengers. And, I mean, Peter's not going to join the Avengers, because that's against the rules at this point in 2015. But then it's just a full-on fight with Ultron to the end. And then there's still this fighting amongst themselves, because, of course, Stark, all along, again, he wants to save the world from itself and save the world from everything. And Captain America doesn't think that's a good idea, for obvious reasons. So there's a fight about...
Well, he wants to... He wants to redo his original plan, which resulted in the creation of Ultron. He gets the Mind Stone back, and he gets a more powerful body, vessel. And he thinks he can do it again, but better. And he has not engendered the trust of his teammates at this point.
No. Nope.
Except Thor, who came back from fucking off.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, so Thor helps to return to activate the body. Now, apparently, according to my notes, at least, the Avengers are fighting amongst themselves while Stark secretly uploads Jarvis, who has been still operational, hiding from Ultron deep within the internet, into a synthetic body, blah, blah, blah. Thor helps activate the body. And Thor explains that the gem on its brow is one of the six Infinity Stones, the most powerful objects in existence. And that was all part of his vision. So that's where we meet the Vision. Paul Bettany.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks up Meow Meow, and that's all very fun. And everybody goes back to Sokovia. And Ultron has used the remaining vibranium to build a machine to lift a large part of the capital city upward, intending to crash it in the ground and cause global extinction. Banner rescues Romanoff, who pushes him into a pit to rouse the Hulk into battle. And then we have the fight against the drones. And we get another helicarrier scene. And we get to see a little war machine. And Don Cheadle, again, he used it most of his time. I like in the beginning party thing where his jokes don't land. But, you know, so later he gets to be war machine. And we get to see Kobe Smulders again as Maria Hill. And they're evacuating citizens with the helicarrier at the same time as... Iron Man's trying to figure a way to keep the city from falling, blah, blah, blah. And then Ultron actually steals the Avengers Quinjet and goes on a strafing run to stop the evacuation.
Yeah, I mean, you yada yada. Probably the best part of this whole fight scene is the little moments with Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch.
Remind me.
No memory of that.
Where he's trying to give her the pep talk.
Yeah, she's starting to freak out, and he's telling her, you either need to decide to stay here and you'll get rescued, or you go out and you become a badass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And he has his little self-deprecating speech about how none of it makes sense because he's just a dude with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I do like that. Again, I like Hawkeye in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I like Hawkeye. I like Scarlet Witch.
Pietro, her brother, gives his life.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to die.
When you... I mean, it doesn't really make sense. But it does provide a reason to get a glimpse of why Wanda is one of the most powerful creatures in the universe.
Okay. Now, do we see a lot more of Wanda in this series?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So
they don't just put her on ice until WandaVision.
Well, I didn't know. According to my daughter, WandaVision is because she is very traumatized. Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, you saw one of the reasons why.
Yeah. Well, it turns out. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Hulk leaps on the Quinjet, evicts Ultron, leaving him vulnerable to a vengeful Wanda, who abandons her post to destroy Ultron's primary body. This then allows one of his drones to activate the machine. The city begins to plummet, but Stark and Thor overload the machine and destroy the landmass, with the Vision swooping in to rescue Wanda. The Hulk, unwilling to endanger Romanoff by being with her, departs in the Quinjet, while the Vision confronts and destroys Ultron's last remaining body. Now, the Vision is something of a pretty powerful guy too, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then later, we're introduced to the newly minted Avengers, where we had the addition of Sam, the Falcon, and was it War Machine, and the Vision and Wanda.
Mm-hmm. And Iron Man has retired again.
Yeah. And Thor apparently is fucked off again.
Yep.
And then we get the credits. But in a mid-credit scene...
We're also reminded that we still have not heard anybody say Avengers Assemble.
Ah, okay. But in a mid-credit scene, Josh Brolin basically says, okay, fine, I'll do it myself. That's our introduction to the Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Yeah. No.
No? Have we seen the Infinity Gauntlet before?
We have.
Oh, is it one of the collector's collection things?
It was in the vault in Asgard.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which makes no sense, because Thanos had it, apparently.
We don't know. These are all things we're going to learn from Star-Lord's dad in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yeah, so now apparently you're going to find out Thanos is going to make an appearance and be the big bad guy for the rest of the series.
You mean for the next Avengers movie?
Is he not the big bad for the next Avengers movie?
He's in it, yeah.
Okay, all right. Sorry, we got a ways to go.
We do.
Because somehow we have to introduce Ant-Man and Black Panther, and who else gets introduced soon? Is that it? We pretty much got the superheroes now. Deadpool is not part of this.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man. Yeah, okay.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And then characters within movies.
Okay. So... Brother Jay, you have any more notes?
So, the beginning of this movie, when they're in the castle, when they breach the castle.
Yes.
Tony makes a big deal about he can put his suit into sentry mode while he goes behind the little hidden wall into the area. So, it's brilliant, of course, that he goes into an unknown area in a castle by the enemy, unprotected, by himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, that was one of those things where that's where I started, and it spiraled down from there.
that's pretty early.
Yeah. Let's see. Nope, that was pretty much it. We've already covered everything that I was going to complain about.
Well, I know I yada-yada'd all of the action scenes. But yeah, you're right, Drew. The action scenes get kind of boring after a while.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just chopping away at nameless robots.
Yeah.
But, you know, James Spader, I thought was really good. I enjoyed the last conversation he had with Vision.
I liked all of his lines. I mean, his whole character was fine.
Mm-hmm. I liked how he was sort of the anti-version of Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't want to admit it. I liked Andy Serkis as Claw.
Oh, it was great.
Just didn't need it in this movie. It's too much stuff. You didn't need Dr. Eric Selvig at all.
No.
Didn't need any of that stuff with Thor. I don't know what we gained by seeing all of their nightmare visions. I mean, you get to feel sad for Captain America again. I don't know that you needed to be reminded of that.
Well, who needed the push?
Like Hulk.
The Hulk needed the push. No. I mean, who needed the bad vision push?
Oh, Stark.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could have solved a lot of scenes, right?
You didn't need to know about Thor. I would rather have Black Widow's history remain, all inference and mystery. They didn't have to show us that she was going to get sterilized.
Yeah. I forgot all about that part.
It didn't add anything materially to the story that made me feel any differently.
Yeah. And
here's a question. Does all of this foundation have any payoff in the future movies, or is this just wasted?
No, it doesn't. None of the visions. If you'd never seen them, you would not miss anything.
Okay. So in the rewrite, we do.
And you don't even get to see whatever Banner's vision was that made him freak out. They just cut right to the effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
We don't need to see it. We don't need to see all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I was looking forward to it. I mean, it still was fine. I mean, it's fine. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars. It's perfectly watchable. It's not going to have any rewatch value for me. Maybe if I am as impressed with Endgame and want to go back
and visit it like 5 times.
Well, but again, is it because of the whole entire story, or is it like it is. Is this movie just fun to watch?
It's fun if you don't have to pay attention to it. Like, if you don't feel guilty about being on your phone through some parts of it, then yeah, it's fine to have on in the background, and then you can kind of poke in at the during the cool parts. It's kind of how I've experienced it most of the times I watched it, but. Yeah, like before WandaVision, I went back and watched at least part of it to see how much she's changed and what they've done with her and her accent. but yeah, I enjoy this movie more than it deserves to be enjoyed.
So, Brother Jay, what's your judgment?
I'm going to get yelled at.
I don't think so.
This is like a C movie. C plus, maybe. Maybe a B minus, but it's fine.
I agree with you. It's not much more than that, if anything.
No, that's...
Yeah.
I think you might even be gentle.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, this had the benefit of Thor Dark World. Which truly has been the worst of the movies so far. Hopefully it's the worst of the whole series.
Here's the exciting part. We're not even done with phase 2.
Yeah, we still have, what, Ant-Man, right?
That's right. Yep.
Cool. So, Drew, was it worth it?
It's worth it once.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough. Before we transition into true housekeeping, I'm just going to get this out of the way. You know what else is worth it once? Kong versus Godzilla. Or sorry, Godzilla versus Kong. I was looking forward to this movie because I like Skull Island. And mm-hmm. I like the most recent, like, Godzilla King of the Monsters or whatever. Just because they wove in a lot of the Godzilla history into it. In a way that I wouldn't have appreciated had I listened to the podcast, Godzilla versus Podcast Zero, which is actually worth listening to. It's fun. They talk about each of the Godzilla movies, and they are janky.
Do they also talk about Kong Skull Island?
I don't know whether they did or not. Good question. And I don't think they've had an episode about Godzilla versus Kong either yet. But I want to see it when I want to listen to it when they do, because I'm curious. Because except for, spoilers, except for Mechagodzilla, which I thought was fun, this movie was there was no humanity in it at all. Like, it was all a big old, like a video game cutscene of kaiju.
It's real dumb. It's a really dumb movie.
Yeah. It's not fun dumb either. Like, if you want to see Seoul, Korea, taken to its knees, and you're not worried too much about the imaginary millions of people that are killed during the fights with the monsters.
Pretty sure it was Hong Kong.
It was Hong Kong. You're right. Yeah, sorry.
Have you seen it, Jason? Godzilla versus Kong?
No.
Yeah. It's not even.
I was telling Brother E, I haven't seen a Godzilla movie since I was in single digits old.
I'm sure you saw the Matthew Broderick movie, right?
No. Why would I?
It was great.
You working at the movie theater?
Yeah, you probably saw 5 minutes of it like 400 times.
It depends on what part of my career, because there was a part of my career where I didn't go into movie theaters anymore. Oh, I was too busy yelling at people.
Oh, the good old days.
Don't tell me to lighten the fuck up.
Yeah. So I was disappointed with Godzilla versus Kong.
I was too, but I still enjoyed it. It was dumb. It didn't make any sense. But I thought of the four now of this like new MonsterVerse, I thought this was the best looking Godzilla movie.
Sure. The last Godzilla
movie. And stuff happened in the daylight.
Well, there's
which
that.
Which is cool.
So Kong Skull Island and Godzilla King of the Monsters both made me look forward to the next movie, like this MonsterVerse movie. This movie mm-hmm. does not make me look forward to the next MonsterVerse movie.
No, what can they do at this point? I mean, I think this killed it.
Yeah.
Because it's so dumb, and they shot all their shots, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise us. But
they have to merge it with the Pacific Rim franchise.
Yeah. Or with the Universal Monsters universe that they failed miserably to get going.
Yeah, can you imagine Tom Cruise as the mummy?
It's great.
What's the point?
Well, it wasn't Russell Crowe is Dr. Jekyll, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That would have been a fun movie. I think the last Dr. Yeah. Jekyll movie I saw had Julia Roberts in it.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
There was a British show called Jekyll that I enjoyed quite a bit.
I remember seeing the cover. I never watched it.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Yeah. It seemed like a period
piece. Episodes. It was great. It's not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it probably is by now.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, housekeeping.
Jason, thank you for going to the post office today on your super busy day.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I don't feel like I had to make a special trip grudgingly on your behalf, because I also had to mail car parts. So I kind of bundled all my trips together. So moreover, I'm sorry that it took as long as it did for me to go, but I was trying to keep trips down to a minimum. But the nice thing about living in a small town is that the post office either is blazingly busy or dead. So I went in at 4 o'clock and I waited 3 minutes. So
sweet.
Nice.
So supposedly Tuesday. It's a big box.
Yeah.
But everything's been lovingly rewrapped in bubble wrap, so
nice.
It's been very well protected, hopefully, knock on wood. But it's insured.
Are you gonna reveal what this thing is?
Probably not.
Or we'll wait till Drew gets it and then he'll do the big reveal?
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
So I had good news this week. Today, actually.
I saw.
So I don't know how much of the housekeeping has been released so far involving my colonoscopy. I think I mentioned it last week, in the episode. So on Monday, I had my first colonoscopy. It turned out it's going to be the first of many. Hopefully, I will live long enough to have many, many, many of them. The procedure, I encourage everybody, old and young, male and female, whatever. If you need to get one, get one. It's not a big deal. The prep was the hardest part, but it wasn't even that hard because it's just two little bottles and it was fine. And
two little bottles for you, but that's not the same for everyone.
Yeah, so you may end up being prescribed something that's like a gallon of stuff you have to drink within an hour.
Actual 4,000 milliliters, 4 liters.
Yeah.
So actual individual performance may vary.
Okay. Yeah. If I had to drink 4 liters of this like salty, super sweet crap, I would have been very upset. But I was able to, I sipped the first bottle, but the second bottle I just chugged. It was like, yeah, I'm not going to take this in several drinks. I'm just going to drink this whole thing all at once. But the actual procedure as advertised, thank goodness for propofol, I think. I don't remember any of it.
Versed is a lovely drug.
Yeah. I remember being taken back, and I remember waking up in the little recovery area. And then a couple minutes later, he came in and gave me colored pictures of my insides. And he took out some polyps, which was a little concerning. At first, I was like, yeah, whatever. What do you expect, right? We had family history, God knows.
Polyps are normal.
Oh, yeah. Well, and all cancer comes from polyps, but most polyps are not cancer.
Correct.
So, but the thing is, when they take, in my case, they took 8 out, which is kind of a big number, but none of them are huge, and the first night I was like, okay, no big deal, whatever, we'll figure it out. I was a little less philosophical about it as the days went on, thinking I was going to have a week and a half to worry about it, because I started to, like, peruse online about, see, it's bad, but I couldn't turn off my brain. So, but luckily they called me today at work, and actually took a phone call at work, because I was so excited to get it, and, yeah, so everything's negative. I got to come back in 3 years because the number of them I had in the family, the fact that I have family history means I can't wait 5 or 10 like they would normal person.
Well, it's inconvenient, but it's a good level of proactivity.
Yeah, I don't have cancer. So that's just one less thing to worry about.
And I'm sure.
Well, I don't have that kind of cancer. Who knows? But I'm not going to worry about the kinds of cancer I have no even inkling, and I never had any symptoms or anything. So
I resisted making a Sigmoid Freud reference.
Oh, if you see, I don't mind any of that.
I was trying to wedge it in, but I couldn't figure it out. So
yeah, it would be I would be remiss not to tell you guys to also just get your colonoscopies when they are.
It's on the horizon.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor today as well. So
oh, excellent.
It was a day of activity for me.
Woohoo. But yeah, anyway, that's all. I watched a bunch of movies, but we'll talk about some of them in the future. But the only one that I had that was really irritating was Godzilla. And although I did watch the end of I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the remaining three episodes. And that,
did you watch all three of them in a row?
No, I watched two and then one the final day. And all of them, it's like, this is just so depressing.
Yes.
It's so sad. You know it's going to be sad. You know it's coming.
But The Damnable Misery, it's still really good.
Oh, no, I had to finish it because it's so good, you know. And all the closure. It's something,
I recommend people watch it, but I also tell people, it's not a fun watch. It's excellent. It's great. It really is substantive, and it's a great thing to experience, but it's awful.
Well, and I mean, again,
doesn't sound like a recommendation, but it is.
Well, we all go on this trip in different ways because, you know, like about half of the people, everybody not involved directly with the rapes and murders are people I have heard on podcasts forever. I had heard Michelle in several podcasts, you know, Karen Kilgariff. I've heard it, you know, 100 podcasts of her or more. And of course, Patton Oswalt is, you know, I mean, I've read his books, I've seen his movies, you know? So you kind of feel a connection. And then the whole, I don't know, I'll Be Gone with the Doctor. It's worth seeing, but
it's surreal.
Michelle McNamara, Patton Oswalt's wife, died.
Well, they talk about it though in the beginning.
Yeah,
they
tell I know, and they do a good job in like giving you all the breadcrumbs. It's not a shock what happened at the end.
No,
but they do kind of feed you the breadcrumbs. So if you didn't know anything about what happened,
but I think the first episode they talk about that she's dead.
Oh yeah. No,
I mean they're very upfront about it. So if you miss that point, it's kind of like milk, you know.
No,
if you miss the point, like. I'm sorry you missed the point, but it was pretty obvious.
No, but I'm just saying they didn't really talk in the first episode about how she died or why she died or whatever. It's just unexpected.
I see. I get you. No, it's true they weren't, but that would have distracted from the story.
Well, and part of the story, like part of the book, is her journey. Yes. It's not about the guy necessarily as much as it's about her journey to catch this guy.
Yeah.
So, anyway. And then what else? Oh, I saw an interesting documentary. Of course, I'm going to forget the name. hold on. It's about a Polish artist. Let me pull up Letterboxd here. I don't think I watched doubles of any movies this time because I didn't have the podcast things. Let's see. It's called Struggle, The Life and Lost Art of Sukalski. And it was it's a documentary about this sculptor from Poland who's living in Los Angeles and maybe like one of the best modern or 20th century rather sculptors ever. And nobody's really heard of him because most of his creations actually didn't make it through the war or the post-war Poland.
Oh.
But it's very interesting because the guy was in his 80s and, you know, he's in the thing. He's like narcissistic. I don't know. He thinks he's a genius and he is very critical of anybody else. Like he is the best of everything.
So he's Nikola Tesla.
Kind of, but it's almost amusing. Like it's almost charming.
It's almost charming.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. Like as a younger man, it would not have been charming probably. But you look at his art and it is amazing. But he is very, anyway, it's worth watching. I think that was on, maybe HBO or Netflix, Amazon, one of those three. And then I watched some horror movies and nothing really to write home about.
Bad Trip, right?
Oh, I watched Bad Trip. Have you seen Bad Trip, Jason?
No, I don't know what it is about.
You know what? Drew recommended that I watch it just because it was a weird movie, like a weird genre.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to explain it more, Drew, you can. But I just say...
My recommendation to you, Eric, was to just watch it cold.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Then, Jason, watch it cold.
Is it my kind of movie?
It's a comedy.
It's no one's kind of movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yet I was actually, I was against my will laughing out loud.
My wife and I had the exact same experience.
It's on my list.
Yeah.
Do you know who Eric Andre is? Even better.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, even exactly. Better. Even better.
Sounds familiar. The name sounds familiar. So, I watched Io on Netflix.
That's a strange
post-apocalyptic or coming apocalyptic movie about basically like the last like people evacuating the planet Earth because it's dying for moons of Jupiter, basically. And it's a very small movie because there's only two characters.
It's got Falcon in it, right?
Is that who that is?
Anthony Mackie? Is he in that movie?
I don't know. There's only two people in it, so I guess I could look it up. It was okay. It was highly predictable. So, eh. Wolfwalkers comes up on my IMDb.
Jason, have you seen The Wolf of Snow Hollow?
No.
You need to. I think that's the...
Yeah,
that's the
Anthony Mackie, you're correct.
This week. Or maybe I'll release this one this week and keep Wolf of Snow Hollow and Becky for in the can.
So it was a fine movie. It was just utterly predictable. So it was fine. Excuse me.
Oh, so tell me about the...
I've already forgotten about Becky.
Yeah, I know.
What is Becky?
Seriously? You don't remember Becky?
I do now.
Okay, a minute.
That's a wild movie.
It was a wild movie.
Did I already talk to you? Maybe Drew, I can't remember. I finished the book The Button, which is all about the Cold War and up to the present nuclear status of the United States and the world.
I think last we spoke, you were in the middle of it.
Yeah, done with that. And then, because I was feeling especially masochistic, I went and got an Eric Schlosser book, author of Fast Food Nation, which is Command and Control, which is the Damascus, Arkansas.
Do I have that book? I might actually have that book.
It's quite good, but it's also... really quite disturbing.
Is that where
it's where the United States missile control almost destroyed Clinton's from Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Arkansas. Almost completely got rid of Arkansas completely because they would have had a nuclear detonation of a Titan II missile in the silo.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
Which spoiler. The missile exploded in the silo anyway, so the warhead blew up and out into the road and killed some people. And
would the nuclear fallout have been confined to Arkansas?
Oh, no.
Because maybe that... Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. It depends. I mean, if there had actually been a nuclear reactive missile, as if it were armed, that would have been... fairly far-reaching, but the missile exploding alone, they were more concerned about what kind of things would happen specifically in the local area, depending on just the radioactivity of just the ambient material of the missile without it actually having a reaction. So really good book, really kind of terrifying. I recommend it, but scared the hell out of me.
I'm 1 week into my 2 week post second shot. So one more week and I'm considered fully vaccinated.
Excellent.
Second shot went pretty well. I was a little tired, had a little bit of a headache, but by Sunday it was all good.
Sweet. Excellent. So now we're all vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I was trying to help Jesse get signed up for his vaccine because now he's because he's in Oregon. He's in the group, the frontline workers that could get a vaccine.
Sweet. But
it's a free for all and it starts at 9 o'clock. And so you have to go to a website and you log in, and then it's a mad rush to get through all of the questions to get to the point where you pick an appointment. Mm-hmm. And then when you pick an appointment, somebody else has already gotten it. So then you have to start over. So it's this infuriatingly awful process.
And so do you have to go to individual websites for individual locations, or do you go to a centralized website?
Yes.
Okay, because I know people in California were talking about how if you like, you can go to Walgreens and sign up at Walgreens, but you have to go through the whole process of signing up for a Walgreens account, only be told there's no reservations. Yes.
So I had a Walgreens thing up. I had a Safeway thing up. I had the state site up because the state's giving. So here's the thing. So the state is giving vaccines at the high school, which is within walking distance of my house. However, could not get a vaccine there. And then I was also in the state, the Portland Greater Vaccine Program, which is put on by OHSU Hospital and Providence Hospital. They have at the airport, they have a huge operation where they're driving, it's drive-through vaccination clinic. And they open up about 1,000 slots a day. But again, you have, so like 5 different web browsers open. I'm answering all these questions and refreshing and waiting for them all to come back to try and see if I can hop on any of them. And then of course they'll time out because they'll look for an appointment. Oh, too long, timed out, start over. Mm. So it was just infuriating. So, and then, you know, I was working, so I'd have to do it, you know, on breaks, like I'd have to take a minute here and then I have to go back to work in a minute here, which is fine because the websites are deadly slow. So, but I couldn't get an appointment Monday, couldn't get an appointment Tuesday, got one Wednesday. So finally got him scheduled. So got him scheduled. So I think his first shot will be on the 19th. So it's a couple weeks.
Nice.
So hopefully that will start the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then he'll be done, you know, three more weeks after that. So
month, you know, and a half.
2 months.
Yeah.
2 months. Well, 2 months will be up to speed, hopefully. So
yeah.
It's just the whole process is just, it's just, it's a, as a healthcare worker, it's it embarrasses me to see it like this. It could have, I mean, I understand, but I'm grateful that our parents were able to get it done and that it wasn't difficult for them, because I can only imagine how many people I had a problem with it. And I'm a technology guy and a healthcare worker. I can only imagine what some people are struggling to try and help their parents with now.
Yeah. That's the thing, is I think older people are just having their kids just try to, you know, stay in line as much as they can, or make it a project to help grandma get an appointment.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, seriously, I had a problem with it, and I know what I was doing. So I can't fathom somebody who's not very technologically on top of things. You know, our grandmother, as great as she was, she would have not been, I don't, you know, I'm not besmirching her abilities, but I don't think she would have been able to accomplish it.
She would have been frustrated for sure.
Yes. We would have all gotten phone calls.
Yeah.
Or you and I would have gotten phone calls, brother.
Yeah. No, I would have been over there on a Monday, spending all morning.
She didn't give a shit about me. That's fine.
That's not true. But so that's done. That's good. But then I got to see my doctor today, because I hadn't seen her in like a year. And she's like, you know, you need to come into the office. So I had to go into the office today, which was its own process, because I already didn't want to be there. I have to go to Portland for it. So it's a trek anyway. Now it's a track.
Was it just like a routine exam?
Yeah. Huh. And and the Dear John letter, basically, where she's telling me she's leaving. So,
oh no,
that's par for the course. My doctor's last about 3 years, and then then they move on. So, but she's moving back to Pennsylvania. Not moving back. She is going to Pennsylvania because she got a fellowship to work with drug and alcohol counseling. So, which is her passion. Or, I don't know if I said that right. That's what she wants to do.
Sure.
So they're, her family and her are moving to Pennsylvania. So she was talking about that. Of course, stab me and take blood and talk about my labs. So
we. Cool.
Been a day. But as I was sitting, I went into the appointment and it's a, I can go anywhere virtually within reason, but my clinic is a Providence Hospital System clinic that I prefer. Because I've used Providence since I was a child. So, huge signs. And basically, this is it's a clinic in a strip mall, basically.
Hmm.
So it's not a hospital area. It was within walking distance of my old house. So it's just like this clinic in a strip mall. And there's these huge signs up front that say, this is not a walk-in clinic. You have to have an appointment. We do not see people without appointments. This is how it works now, especially in days of COVID. We do not take walk-ins. Right? Yeah. There's these in five different languages, in giant top to bottom of the windows, in giant posters. And I had an appointment, clearly. I go in, and there's two other people sitting for appointments. And we all checked in. And within the span of 10 minutes, no less than five people came in asking for walk-in appointments.
Nice.
Of like, course.
Okay, I'm sorry you didn't see any of the big signs out front that say we're not having any walk-ins, but we're sorry, you're not having any walk-ins. So I feel bad for those people, but times are tough, man. But vaccine progress, so that's good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the future holds.
Yeah, so we're not coming up for summer. We are planning on Christmas.
Okay, that seems reasonable.
Excellent.
Knock on wood. That's the plan. I have to get it approved through my work, but I don't know that that's an obstacle. Ostensibly, though, I could bring my laptop and work from Alaska. So
nice.
Not that I want to, but
yeah, it's kind of hard to deny that anymore.
Well, that's the thing now. They told us for a long time, it just wasn't feasible. Our operation wasn't feasible for you to work from home. And then,
right.
Oops. So they've let the genie out of the bottle. We'll see. I understand. I still have to go into the office every now and then. I'm back in the office now 2 days a week. So on purpose.
I'm back 5 days a week.
Are most of your coworkers back 5 days a week?
All of them.
Wow. And all of them are vaccinated?
Can't ask.
It is encouraged, but not required.
Right. Well, it's the same for us. It's not required, which I can't even fathom. But
yeah.
How much of Alaska is vaccinated at this point? Do you know?
As of last week, it was like 26% or 20, almost 30% was fully vaccinated, and up into the 40s was single dose at least. Yeah. But yeah, it's looking pretty good. I mean,
yeah, and I think this is going to increase. I know a few people who've gotten the Johnson & Johnson shot already. So
yeah, that's great. And that's
going to go a lot quicker.
Yeah. We talked before about how for rural Alaska, that should be the standard.
Yeah we've got walk-in clinics now.
Nice.
You just walk in and get a vaccine. You don't need an appointment.
Good.
That's unbelievable to consider that's where we're at, given how we looked 3 months ago.
Hey, yeah, that's excellent.
I got my first COVID test, and I was expecting the like tickle your brain COVID test.
Yeah.
Nope. She gave me the swab, but I only had to put it in like maybe an inch into. I did it myself. I had to like circle it around each nostril for 30 seconds per nostril, which, as it turns out, is actually kind of irritating too. I mean, I was a little bit teary because, you know, just manipulating the mucosa.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
What, did she sing a song?
It is. No, no, she had me look. There was a big old clock. She goes, you know, so 11 to 5 and then 5 to 11. Like, okay. But yeah, it was great. It was like, okay, no news is good news. Because, you know, they required it for the procedure. So I said, yeah, if you come back positive, your doctor will call you and reschedule your thing. So when I went in there on Monday, they're like, yeah, and by the way, you're negative. It's like, okay, yeah, I was figuring I would be. It would be shocking if I was positive, but possible, but still shocking. But, you know, now, as of today, now I can free up all that time I was setting aside for chemotherapy and, you know, focus on other things. Because I want to be better than everybody. I don't want to be obsessive, right? But, you know.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, it's not. We're on the spectrum.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
Earlier in the year, I had a jonesing to play a football game, and I thought, I have this wonderful device. It's my phone. It's awesome. You can download games to it.
Uh huh.
So I went looking for a football game. Downloaded Madden. There's a free to play version of Madden on iOS.
Wow.
Downloaded that. I remember really liking playing Madden on the PlayStation. And I have never experienced a game that made me feel so old so quickly. Like, I started trying to play. I was like, what is this? I just want to call some plays and throw a football.
Yeah.
It was so complicated, and there's just so much shit you have to go through. And all these different mini games, and it made me pine for the days of playing like Mac football.
Mm-hmm. Do
you remember that? Like the Zork version of football games. So I got very frustrated, and I went looking for other sort of non-brand football games, and I found a great one. It's called Retro Bowl.
Oh, okay.
It's super simple. It's like an 8-bit style game, but it uses like it's very simple, but it actually uses like the iPhone interface where, you know, when you throw a pass, it depends on, you know, how far you swipe during the play. And super simple is great. It's if you pay like the $1 or $2, it's free to play, but if you pay the $1 or $2 fee, you can customize it, so you can like rename your characters. So I could play with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. It's exactly what I wanted to do.
Cool.
And I loved it. It's great. It's very low stress. It's a great time waster. But then I noticed a problem.
Uh-oh.
So it's got these 8-bit graphics, right?
Uh-huh.
And so when you have a good play, your running back breaks free, or you throw a long pass, you see your little dude, you know, moving his legs back and forth as it goes across the screen.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed something that makes the game completely unplayable for me.
Do they go
they
the wrong
step
way?
On the lines.
Ugh.
Oh.
That's hilarious.
They step, and once I saw that, I could not unsee it. And it's not every time. It's like the gait of the players is not even, and so they don't step on the lines all the time, and I can't handle it. It's over. It's done. Retro Bowl is gone.
That's hilarious.
Did you already pay for it before you discovered that, or did you just not pay for it yet?
Yeah. No, I was just. A game that I was playing that much and enjoying so much, I was happy to pay the $1 or $2.
Gotcha. So I had a similar thought, not nearly as sophisticated as yours, but I have a game called X's and O's.
Yeah.
And literally it's, you have, You have it was like four players per team, and you literally draw. Like you pick a pass for formation or a run formation, and if you're if you're offense, you point. You give each of your guys, except for the quarterback, if you're on offense, a route to run. And if you're on defense, you give all your guys a route to run. And then, it does the throwing or running for you. It's not bad, except that the computer cheats. Like, if you throw a pass, like if you throw an outside pass, right? And there's a guy next to you, and you can only go a maximum of 15 yards. Like, if you're just break open or whatever to run, you can't just run everything for a touchdown. You can only get 15 yards at a time maximum, which is good because, again, you only have so many people. But if you are running outside and the pass thrown to you and your guy catches it and there's an O next to you somewhere, then, they'll grab you or whatever, right? If you're the computer, if the computer throws a pass to the outside, his player will run out of bounds for 15 yards, and your player cannot go out of bounds to tackle him. So even if you have your player running a route to just cut off that whole sideline, you can't. So that makes me irritated, and I can't play that game either. So,
but do they step on the lines?
There's no feet involved.
Oh, okay.
So it's just the X's or O's moving.
I feel like such an old man. I'm just like, I just want to go back to Open Apple 3, Open Apple 4. Oh, crap, Open Apple 8.
Well, I think as soon as they had, like, the Madden games back in, like, well, certainly the Wii one, but the Xbox one I had back when I had an Xbox 360, it was too much for me at the time. It was like the 3D where you have like the quarterback view of the whole thing. So you have to look downfield and as if you're a real quarterback. Oh, that may be great if you're a real quarterback, but I just want a top down view where, again, I just want to throw a pass and see if somebody catches it. I don't want to make sure that the person runs the hook route actually runs the hook route and doesn't get picked off by the cornerback who's anyway.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother.